Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Our Sunday's sermon comes from the sermon archive of the Most Reverend John T. Calhoun, Jr., and he gave it in February of 2001. And it deals with our first lesson of the day, which is probably a little bit more complicated than the second lesson, but he just deals with one part of the first lesson. So, in this morning's epistle, St. Paul expresses his worry that even if he does a good job of preaching the gospel to other people, he still might wind up not being saved himself. He says that he has to concentrate upon training himself when he tries to train his listeners, and he says, "Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be cast away." During last Lent one, I visited Will Cohen, who is one of the men who is studying to be ordained in our diocese. He attends St. Vladimir's Orthodox Seminary, which is just north of New York City. Mr. Cohen was a student of my wife's when she taught at Stanford University in the 1980s. When she first knew him, he was from a Jewish family, but he had no religious commitment or training of any kind. She kept in touch with him over the years, and as he read himself into Christianity, and I have baptized and confirmed him here at St. Andrew and St. Margaret. He felt a calling to the ministry, which was affirmed by his spending time here over a couple of summers, following me around and seeing what I do all day. I have known about St. Vladimir's since the 1970s, when I became acquainted with some of the professors there. One evening, when Mr. Cohen expressed a desire to go to Yale so that he could convert the divinity school to Christianity, Leslie and I got onto the telephone extensions and said in unison, "No." At any rate, my one day at St. Vladimir's last spring showed me that I need input. I am honored that this is so, but I am also always a preacher, always the teacher, always the retreat giver. I need to listen to somebody else talk, and I also need to go to church rather than only conduct it. When some kind parishioner suggested that it might be good for me to spend some more time at St. Vladimir's, I was happy to agree. I am grateful to them and to our most generous vestry for making it happen. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I have been interested in Orthodoxy, especially Russian Orthodoxy, since I was in seminary. I have profited greatly by reading Orthodox theology, and, as many of you know, my favorite book on prayer and the biggest asset to my own personal private prayer life is a 19th century Russian tale called The Way of a Pilgrim. Orthodoxy is the brand of Christianity that is closest to classical Anglicanism, despite its rather different packaging. Given the disarray in which most of the Western Christianity finds itself, Orthodoxy provides some reassurance. A recent book on the subject says, "Byzantines believed that perfection lay in unswerving fidelity to tradition. Its rigid conservatism is one of Orthodoxy's most pronounced and admired characteristics today. I believe that Anglican Catholicism is our ethnic Orthodox Church." At any rate, I spent about 11 days at St. Vladimir's trying to pretend I was a student. I went to lectures for as long as 6 hours per day. I went to church twice a day for services of up to 3 hours and 40 minutes in length. I saw ordinations and met bishops. I heard other people preach, in all cases very biblically, very pointedly, and very briefly. On the Sunday I was there, I attended our church in East Islip, Long Island, where Mr. Cohen goes every Sunday. I was blissfully happy to sit in the congregation. The officiant and preacher was Deacon Anthony Ogier, who is a Nigerian man I ordained in December. He preached well, and he read the service well. I could not have been more satisfied or more spiritually refreshed. I have never been near an institution of any kind which could rival the academic excellence of St. Vladimir's. I attended classes on, among other things, the prophet Ezekiel, the church fathers, canon law, sexuality and monasticism, pastoral counseling, and Christianity in Russian literature. The high academic quality is augmented by the clear understanding that what they are doing mainly is training parish priests. The more practical aspects of the priesthood are handled brilliantly as well. Mr. Cohen is getting the very best training imaginable for his future ministry in our diocese. My experience inevitably made me reflect upon my own seminary training 30 years ago. The professors at my Episcopal seminary were also intelligent and competent. The problem was that the entire intellectual and academic enterprise was in the service of trying to brainwash the students into what the professors hoped would become the new realities of the Episcopal Church. And they succeeded, mostly. It hasn't stopped. My seminary announced recently a conference of bishops and theologians titled, rather ominously, Beyond Orthodoxy. In seminary, we are cut off from our Anglican traditions. That was, of course, on purpose, to make us more ready to accept the rewritten prayer book, the destruction of the apostolic sacraments, and bishops who denied major articles of the Nicene Creed. I pray that in our new attempt to continue our Holyrood Seminary at Richmond, we can keep the examples of St. Vladimir's in front of our minds. I'm grateful to have been allowed to experience the community of teaching and belief and commitment, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be as described as the most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever. Amen.